If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd join me in the book of Proverbs, we're going to be kind of bouncing around a few different places throughout the book of Proverbs. It's kind of the nature of the book as we get past chapter 9. And but what a practical book. It speaks to so many areas of our lives that are just part of us. And we've looked at, right, I think the last 2 weeks we looked at real manhood and then real womanhood. And this week we're going to look at the home and biblical wisdom related to the home. And we've read part of it. You can be in Proverbs 24. That's where we had read one of the passages. And I'm going to kind of use some of this, where it says in Proverbs 24, verse 3, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." Let's just think about that for a moment. Through wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. And we're looking to establish and have healthy homes. That happens through wisdom. And one of the things I think, as we state from the very front end, is we need to understand or come to the grips with the fact that this is not automatic. We're not automatically guaranteed that we're going to have a home of wisdom. Well, why is that, you say? Well, I'd say for a couple reasons. One, because you and everybody else in your home is a sinner, and that brings with it a flesh that wrestles against the spirit, so that we do not do the things that we wish, and there's this battle, and there's going to be then in that those struggles in every home. Secondly, because if you have children in your home, you'll know this, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The Bible tells us that. Doesn't take long till you recognize that, which means there's going to be troubles there, and you're going to have to work at trying to steer your children away from those foolishness things and after the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't happen automatically. That takes a lot of wisdom, training, patience, and discipline, time, police officers, whatever else that you might need in that process. And then thirdly, I think because we know this is not automatic, because Satan knows that the home is central to the framework of our society. And if he can dismantle that, if he can disrupt that, then he can cause disruption to the furtherance of the gospel and to a God-honoring society. So he's going to battle that. And so we come to this today just kind of understanding and recognizing those things. And Proverbs is going to deal with that head on as well. And so God offers us then timeless wisdom in the book of Proverbs on establishing godly homes. And he's also given us his presence through his spirit to help us in that process. And I want to actually end the service a little bit different today, with taking some time actually just to pray for our homes, to pray for marriages, to pray for our child rearing and those aspects. And I think, so this is actually going to take us 2 weeks on this topic. And we're going to get into some of the aspects on training children and what is discipline and all those things next week. So parents, don't let your kids, knowing that discipline is going to be talked about next week, don't let them keep you away from church next week so that you don't hear about those things as well. But we're going to take time at the end of both services next week and this week, Lord willing, to spend some time in prayer. And I want to say as well, recognizing that any of us is at different positions in the process of this in our homes. For my wife and I, we're walking step by step with this as you are. And we're endeavoring to train up our children the way they should go. We're endeavoring to grow our marriage, continue to be stronger and stronger. And this August will be 24 years of marriage for us. And we've got children who are graduating college. In the same hand, we've also got a 3-year-old in our home. And what I've often found amusing is how easy it is to have ideals. And this is what I would do once I get married. This is what I'm going to do once I have kids. It's going to look like this. Until you have a child in your home, and then the ideals and all of those surmisings go out the window, and you say, I need some help. somebody tell me what I really should be doing. And that goes through different stages, right? There's the stages of newlyweds, and there's the stages of we've been married for 20 years and we're raising kids, and then there's the stages of now we're empty nesters. There's the stages of parenting. They're all different stages. And so wherever you're at, though, God speaks to us with wisdom on this. My wife and I were kind of chuckling together after 24 years of marriage and raising, our oldest is 22 and getting married this year. And we've been, parenting for quite some time. And we thought we had it all together until we started fostering. And then that throws another whole kink but it changes the dynamics. And then, we're in this process to be able to adopt the two that we have in our home. We have to go through parent trainings, 8 weeks of every Monday night for 2 to 2.5 hour Zoom sessions. And we have to watch hours of videos each week before that and then fill out questionnaires and paperwork every week. And we were kind of chuckling that, we've been in this for 20-some years. We're foster mentors for the county to other foster families. We've been fostering and adopting for 9 years plus. And one of the teachers, I'm pretty sure, just graduated college and does not have kids. And so we've had to say, you know what, but there's good stuff that they're going to put out there. And some of it is okay, and some of it is absolute garbage. But there is helpful things. But it drives us back to say, okay, what does God say on this? At this stage where we are in our lives and parenting and those things, what does God teach us? Well, that's what the book of Proverbs speaks into. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom from a father and a mother. Hear the instruction of your father, hear the instruction of your mother, and it's words to their family. And so whatever stage you're at in your home, taking time to hear this wisdom should be beneficial. And what I want to do is, over this week and next week, is really hone in on four different relationships that are within the home that ought to be emphasized. And I'm going to do those in kind of a descending order. I want to highlight what is the first ones in order there. And so the first one we're going to jump into is to have a wise home, a godly home. A wise home will be pursuing Jesus Christ. You say, well, that sounds like a given, right? I mean, that's kind of something that we would naturally just have to say. But if we break this down for a moment, I want you to see where I'm coming with this. Consider that Proverbs, Solomon teaches us in Proverbs 24, verse 3, that through wisdom, a house is built. So seeking wisdom needs to be central to a blessed home. And then Proverbs also teaches us that wisdom was present when when God formed the world and everything in it, when all of the world and its structure and its operations is in harmony through wisdom. But wisdom, in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 30, is personified in Jesus Christ. And so as we're seeking wisdom, we need to be seeking Jesus Christ. Because through wisdom, a house is established, and wisdom is a person. And so the world was created in perfect harmony and order and giving glory to God, but then we also recognize that through sin, that harmony, that order was disrupted. And everything, the world is all in chaotic order now because of that sin. And only through Jesus Christ can that order be restructured. Only through Jesus is that brought back into harmony with the Lord, and we can give glory to God through that. And so, in other words, the only way you can right the wrongs and set that right is through Christ. And so, a home that is going to be seeking to be established in wisdom will say, we want to pursue Jesus as central in our home. I'm doing discipleship with my son, and we're going through a book together entitled Forging Godly Men, a discipleship manual for dads and their teenage sons. And it's been good. But as we sat down and as I even presented the objective to do this together, I said, one of the things I want you to understand is it's central to your mom and I in our own personal lives and to our directives for our home is Jesus Christ. We have pursued Him. We want Him to be central to guide and to lead and direct. And as He might even change different vocational things as we were growing up in different stages, or as He directs us to take on extra children or all those things, those decisions are not just made on a whim, but are made on as we pursue Jesus and we're surrendered to Him. And we want you to know Him and to not just know about Him, but to know Him and be led by Him and surrendered to Him and to serve Him. And so I wanted him to recognize that's central. And that's something that we need to emphasize. And that's where Proverbs is. Like Solomon in Proverbs 1:8, where he attempts to urge his son, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." And so that's the instruction together, that law, that instruction is in Jesus Christ. In fact, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment. I just want to touch on this quickly here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is trying to instruct the people as they're going to be prepared to go into the promised land. And he wants them to have godly homes that'll be blessed by God and that they won't forget God as they go into this place. And so he tells them, notice and start in verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments that the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may be multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." So Moses is saying, hey, this is the instruction I want for you to have, that you'll fear the Lord, you'll serve the Lord, you'll pursue Him all the days of your life, and your children, your grandchildren, that God will bless you. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him." Notice that direction. He says, I want you to love and pursue Him so that your homes are directed properly. Godly homes, wise homes, where there is balance and structure are centered on Jesus Christ and His Word. And saying we want that to lead and to guide us in that. And notice how personal that is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And so dads, moms, first and foremost, key to a wise and godly home is you're personally walking with and pursuing Jesus Christ. And then talk about Him in your home. Read Scripture together. Pray together as a family. You say, well, that's not really been the rhythms of our home or routines of our home. And that may, if that's not been that rhythm or routine, that may feel a little awkward at first. But it is the direction that you want to lead them in. And so take time to read Scripture together. Take time to pray together as a family and establish that on the promises of God's Word. This is key to God's blessing the home. Second of all, I want you to see that a wise home will have a husband and a wife loving each other. Excuse me. One of the realities that we need to come to understand is that the foundation of the home is the husband and wife relationship. Children don't make a home, they only add to the number in the home. The home is established when a husband and a wife leave and their father and mother and cleave to each other and become a one flesh union, and you establish a new home. I know your little Johnny in your home thinks that the world revolves around him or her in your home. They do not. It does not revolve around them. The central relationship is the moms and dads, the husband and wife, and their relationship. That's why Solomon encourages his son in chapter 5. He says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth and be enraptured with her love. Let that be what you seek after." That's why he begins the book with admonishment from him as his father and also from his mother, because they are unified in this directive that they want to pass on to their son. There's a unity of a husband and wife there. And by the way, that's the foundation that God established from the very beginning of creation. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, and God's creating, and it says, "And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper comparable for him." At that time, Adam didn't even realize that need, and so God has him number or name all of the animals, and in that naming process, he begins to recognize, hey, there's a match for every one. For every male animal here, there's a female. And he starts to see that, and then God puts him to sleep. And from man, he creates woman. And then in that incredible moment when God awakens Adam, and he, like the first father figure, brings the bride, Eve, down to Adam. And Adam meets Eve for the first time. I've often wished just to see that moment. But what was that like? Well, he instantly goes into what's in Hebrew is poetry. It's amazing how love songs are like a natural framework of our music and genre. Well, let's start all the way back from the very first time. He says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." I know that doesn't sound super romantic, doesn't sound very poetic, but it is. And commentators and theologians that work in language, they say it really is almost like him saying, "This is it. This is the one that is comparable. This is the one that fits me. She's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This is the one that's my match, and I'm going to pursue this." And then he goes into verse 25, and he says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And he emphasizes a structure there that is going to be lasting beyond just him, because he never had to leave father and mother. So he's emphasizing, Adam is, this is the structure that should be for the nucleus of homes, that they will leave. There's going to be a new foundation of a husband and wife, and the new priority in their life is each other over their other home priority. This is now the new priority. As difficult as it's going to be for me to hand over my daughter and into marriage and to recognize that she's no longer under my headship, she's now not going to be in that position. She's going to be united with this other guy. At some point, I'll give him a name, but she's going to be. The priority is not going to be, "Hey, mom and dad, what do you think about this? Hey, mom and dad, is this okay to do?" She needs to talk to her husband. And it's going to be that she's going to work those things through with him. And husbands and wives, that is the priority that you establish there. And not only the priority of that, but then he goes into pursuit that he says, and shall join to his wife. Or the King James uses the word cleave. They shall be joined together. There is a new pursuit that happens there of loving each other above themselves. I want to give myself to my spouse because we're going to join together in this. So what I have as a husband, as a man, I want to meet the needs of my wife. I want to love her unconditionally, as Paul looks back at this in Ephesians chapter 5 and gives us instruction on the husband and wife relationship, and he examples it by Jesus Christ and the church, that husbands so ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, for her. And so husbands are going to pursue their wives. And wives, as they join their husbands, they recognize, I have attributes and I have qualities and things that I can give to meet the needs to be a helper for my husband. And so they join together and pursue each other. Sometimes people say, well, you know, that's not the greatest thing we can give to our kids. And if we just provide a home with lots of opportunities, or we provide a home with lots of stuff, that'll make a happy home. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing that you can give your kids outside of them knowing Jesus Christ is a mom and dad who love each other. A mom and dad who are excited about each other and still have that thriving love relationship. That's why later on Solomon says it this way. He says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. In other words, rather than a home has all kinds of fancy stuff and they're having filet mignon and surf and turf and they've got all the latest gadgets and toys, he said it is better, it is more enjoyable for the home to be a home of joy. Even if you've only got, you know, you're just eating rabbit's food, you got lettuce and carrots and you just have herbs and those are things you have, they'd much rather be in that home where there's love. They'd much rather be in that place where there's a mom and dad who care for each other and will care for them. And so that means that we need to change the pursuit and priority. Dads, make sure you take time for your wife, to date her, to know her, to keep on learning her. Take time for your children over the priorities of, oh, I can get if I get this extra hours and I can buy this gadget. You know what they'd rather have is you. Spend time with them. Invest in them. And we need to reclaim the high view of marriage as a gift and as a holy obligation. Let every married couple go for the maximum display of God's glory in their relationship. Let marriage be held to the highest honor. Let the marriage bed be active and undefiled. Don't withhold each other or hold yourself from each other. Be intimate. Express love together. Love selflessly. Be enraptured with each other's love. And I can tell you that kids feel secure and loved when mom and dad love each other. I remember as a kid, I don't know where this started as in our home as kids. I think my sister, she was the ringleader on a lot of these things. That my dad, when he would come home, oftentimes he'd come to the kitchen where mom was getting dinner ready, and he would give her a big hug and he would give her a kiss. Well, we started this thing that whenever they were hugging and kissing, we would start to say, alert, alert, alert. And all three of us kids would go and we would rush in and try to get in between and try to push them apart. And it became like this game in our home growing up to try to separate my parents. But the reality is we loved it. We loved knowing that they loved each other. We were delighted. I was delighted to know that my dad wanted to come home and give my mom a hug and kiss. It was a joke. We weren't trying to separate that, but it was just we saw it, we highlighted it, and it was good. And I can tell you, it was a blessing. I'm thankful for it, and it provided security to us as kids to know mom and dad are good. And so pursue that in those relationships. The third thing we're going to get into today, we're just going to start on this one, in a wise home, we'll not only be pursuing Christ and have a husband and wife loving each other, but a wise home will have parents training their children. And listen, let me just back up for a moment here. I recognize that things happen in relationships. And I recognize that in homes that things don't always work out the way that you want it to. That there are broken marriages. We live in a fallen society. We live in a sinful society. Satan is real. And so we want to encourage you, even when those things happen in your life, that you can still find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can still pursue training your children for the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage you with that. But a wise home will have parents training their children. Again, we're going to start on this morning. We're going to come back this further next week and dig in, especially I want to dig in further next week into a sometimes controversial passage. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." That has produced a variety of different wrestlings and struggles and theological conclusions from that. I want to dive into that further next week, but I just want to hone in for a moment on the word train up. Train. Actually, train up is actually just one word in the Hebrew, kanak, and it has the idea of to dedicate or to train up. It has the idea of dedicating your child to Christ. And interestingly, this Hebrew word is related to an Arabic phrase that was used when they would try to incentivize a child to eat. They would take date oil, and they would take that sweet date oil and put it on the tongue of an infant so that it would have a desire to nurse. It would have an inclination, I need this, I want this. And they would sometimes do that as they would start to eat, they would give it date oil. And it was incentivizing it. It was steering it in the way that was the right way. That's the same word that's used of that to train up, to make this the direction that they are ought to go in. Now, training then consists of three things. Training consists of instruction, example, and discipline. Instruction, example, and discipline. We're going to get into the latter two next week, Lord willing, but we're going to jump into this first one on instruction today. And you'll note as well, as we start this is not a hands-off. Training is not a hands-off. We're just kind of let little Johnny go in the way, whatever direction it feels good for them. No, that's not going to turn out well. They aren't just to chart their own path, because the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 15, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In fact, it says later on in chapter 29, verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself will be ashamed to his mother." And so we can't take a backseat approach and just say, well, we'll just let them just grow. They need to have direction in that. They need instruction. Well, how do we go about that? Well, we'll see there the first that training requires instruction. How do we go about that? Well, let's be very practical. You have to use your words. You probably heard the statement to preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. It's actually not a great statement as it relates to the gospel, because how shall they believe unless they are told? How shall they hear unless someone tells them? Romans 10 and verse 14. The gospel goes forward by people sharing the gospel. We can't just simply only be example, but the same thing in a home. Your children need to be taught that the book of Proverbs is a bunch of words of a dad and a mom to their son. Hey, I want you to get this. He didn't just say, well, watch my example. No, he's going to teach him and instruct him in this. Deuteronomy 6, we saw earlier instructed, "Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them in when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And Paul says in Ephesians 6, 4, to fathers, bring up them in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And that word admonition means exhortation, putting to mind, is to teach them these things. Teach them in who Jesus is, in who the Lord is. Again, sometimes people say, well, no, I don't want to steer my children on what they're going to believe about God. I want to let them make up their own mind on these things. Why do they have that mindset? Because nobody would say, I'm going to till up my garden and then just leave it there and hope it produces vegetables and not weeds. It will naturally produce weeds. And when foolishness has already bound the heart of your child, what makes you think it's going to produce good fruit? What makes you think that someone else isn't also going to implant in your child's life? We ought to be the ones to do that. Parents, moms and dads, implanting and saying, I'm not going to let this to chance, because be sure if you aren't the one doing it, someone else will teach them error. So it's natural to teach your children what's important to you then. If Jesus Christ is important to you, if serving and being a part of your church and finding satisfaction in godly friendships and relationships there, then that's going to become something that they take into pattern. It's often, you see this in homes where oftentimes children will start to be fans of their teams that their dad and mom were fans of. I see that oftentimes. I think of an example of that would be the Seawerts. I think brought that up before for Lou and Marla. Strong Eagles fans. And I remember when I moved here many years ago and I called their home and I got their voicemail and on their answering machine and it was Michelle on there going, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Well, where did she develop that? From Lou and Marla. Because they brought her up in that. Well, they wouldn't let her become a 49ers fan or a Dallas Cowboys fan. They're not going to leave that to chance. Who would do that? They could have gone Steelers. That would have been a better, we could have tried, you know, that wouldn't have been bad. Why would we take the chance to not train up our children in the way they should go with the Lord Jesus Christ? The most central things and to see the glory of God in their lives all around them. As a child progresses from the infant and toddler stage and are able to grasp more, then we move from not just the what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing to the why. To teach them why they should be doing this or that. Because why is the heart motivation for behavior. If all we teach them is, if you don't do this, you're going to get in trouble. If you do this, you get in trouble. And if we don't teach them the why, all we've established is behavior modification, but not heart transformation. If we want to see long-term that they're directed in this way, we have to then, as they get are able to understand, we're able to input in their conscience, this is why you should have respect for authority. This is why you should do chores and do your best at what God puts before you. This is why when we give you schoolwork, you should do your best with this. This is why you shouldn't be proud or cocky. This is why you should not gossip or be sexually active before marriage. This is why you should use your money to glorify God. We want them to understand not only the what's, but the why's. And that comes from mom and dads who are saying, well, let me see what God says on that. I want to know what God says about how we should treat authority and those who are older than us, and that, you know, teach a child to rise up before the gray head and to recognize them, that we should honor the Lord the first fruits. But these things that the Bible teaches us, and we want to teach them to our children. And we need to be alert for those questions. Be alert for those conversations as we have those, and then they bring questions. Questions from your children are a good thing. As they question even maybe their religion or their faith or those things, talk to them about it. Man, what a privilege that they would come and want to talk to you about that. And we want to not shoot down those conversations, but rather open the window of that and say, let's talk about that. You may not always have the answers. You can sometimes say, man, that's a great question. I need to think about that for a little while. I mean, maybe get some guidance from one of the pastors on this and get some help on that. I've had the privilege of the last couple weeks to have a couple parents contact me and say, man, my child came home from school and was being taught this, and we're talking it through. Do you have any resources that would be helpful in this? And different situations. Man, what a privilege. This is why I related back to that, the one dad there. What a privilege that your child wanting to come and talk to you about it. An opportunity that you have to direct their heart to say, let's look what God says on these things. And why do we believe this? And so we're gonna come back to this next week, but I just want to encourage moms and dads, keep it up. Keep doing it. Don't quit in this task and in this thing. And so, but let me finish with a story, and then I want to take some time just to pray for homes, for godly homes. I'm going to give you a story to finish out. This is a journal entry by Esther Edwards back in 1756. The journal entry comes after Esther had come to her dad with some questions, was wrestling through some things, and her dad, Jonathan Edwards, the great reformer and pastor, gave her guidance. And here's what she wrote. She said, "Last eve I had some free discourse with my father on the great things that concern my best interest. I opened my difficulties, and he, as freely advised, directed the conversation and removed some distressing doubts that discouraged me much in my Christian warfare. He gave me some excellent directions to be observed in secret that tend to keep the soul near to God, as well as others to be observed in a more public way. Oh, what a mercy that I have such a father, such a guide." That's what she wrote. What a privilege that she had a dad that she could go to get wisdom and guidance from. That is a wise home. A wise home is a place that is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. That they're pursuing Him first. A wise home is a place where moms and dads are seeking to love each other and build that foundation and framework in their home. And a wise home is a place where parents are training their children. And then part of that's going to be instructing them. We'll get into other parts of that next week. I want to finish today by just taking some special time for prayer, knowing that the battle that rages in our culture against homes, the struggles that are there, and for some that have faced those struggles in various ways, I want to take some time to pray. And I've asked Pastor Aaron to come today, and he's going to pray, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to just take some time to really give this to the Lord. Recognize if we're going to have these godly, wise homes, this is going to happen through the Lord's strength. And so would you join us in prayer as we pray together this morning?
Father, we come before You. Father, You have told us and You've promised us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so we take You up on that. And we come before You now. Father, there are just so many things to ask for. First of all, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Pastor Shipe and his willingness to study Your word in a very approving kind of way and bring it to us as the church. Father, there are so many dads and moms in this room. Father, I want to, first of all, ask that You would help us as only You can, as only You can. I pray that You would just help put it on all of our hearts to desire to pursue You in Your word and desire to know You and to know You deeply. Father, give us strength and energy to get up in the morning and spend time with You. Give us strength and energy to spend time with You before we go to bed and to know You. Father, there are so many married couples in this place right now. And Father, I want to just bring each of them before You. I want to bring myself and my wife before You as well. I pray that you would, Father, we are all flawed people. We're all sinners. We all do things wrong. I want to ask that you would help us to be humble with one another. Help us to be humble with our spouse. And to not be proud and to not be too good to come and make things right whenever we've done them wrong. So that we can be together. I pray that for each one in here. Please give us strength and love. Help us to, first and foremost, learn to love you with all of our hearts more than we did the day before. And help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that includes our spouse. I pray that you would bring married couples together more and more in their love for one another. That you may be glorified, and that there and that all of our homes may be honoring and better established in you. And Father, lastly, I just want to lift up before you all of the children that are represented here in this place. Father, parenting is the most difficult job that any of us have, that you've given to us. I want to ask that you would, first of all, that you would save the children, Father. Would you please draw them to yourself and allow them to know that they are sinners and know that they need a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. I pray for any children that aren't saved here in this place, that you indeed would strongly draw them to yourself. And also that, Father, also, would you allow these children to see just the importance of turning to you and turning to their parents. Turning to their parents for wisdom and for instruction. Father, I pray that you would help the teenagers here in this place to as they get older, that you would make them wise enough to realize the error of turning away from their moms and dads, but that they would realize that you would desire for them to turn to their moms and dads and to build that relationship. And so, Father, we commit all of these things to you. And we thank you so much for this church family that you have put together. And Father, we thank you that we have you, and we thank you that we have each other to go to as well. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And Father, as we continue in prayer, as we desire to have homes that are established in wisdom, we also recognize we are in such need of grace. Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds wouldn't hear this all today and only just say, well, I got to put more effort and got to do this, got to do that, but rather that we would depend on your grace to help us love appropriately. Depend on your grace to help us parent the way we should, to have the patience we need, to have the long view on training our children. God, I pray for grace for those who have had some disappointing times in their marriage, the relationship there, and maybe things haven't gone the way that they expected or hoped or desired. And I pray that you'd give them grace. I pray that you'd give them the peace of your presence. Lord, you'd give them just wisdom to know how to move on from here, what's the next steps and what to do. God, I pray for parents who maybe had some struggles with their children and have wrestled through those things. And I pray again for grace that you would encourage. God, I pray for your grace that would draw and pull those children back into a closer relationship with you. Lord, in all of this, we recognize this isn't going to happen simply by just us working harder. It's going to happen by your ability and your goodness. So we invite that, Father. We seek that. And I pray that you would establish healthy, God-honoring homes. Help us establish right patterns. God, humble us where we need humbled, that we might look to you above all else. Thank you for the instruction from your word this morning, for the book of Proverbs that speaks so practically to us. And I pray as we continue that we would develop these and hear, give us ears to hear, that we would gain a heart of wisdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.